It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine what school districts sought to pass in the midterms through referendums. According to the State Department of Public Instruction, there were 166 school district referendum questions of all types that went before voters this year. The Wisconsin Association of School Boards says this is the highest number since 2000. From facility upgrades to money to keep and attract staff, join in on what your district asked for, how you felt about it. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jill Underley is State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Superintendent Underley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. I was looking forward to talking with you all this morning.
Well, yes, you know, Wisconsin districts, they held a total of 81 referendums on Tuesday. According to your DPI reports platform, 64 passed. Why are schools relying on these to fund operations and infrastructure?
I think it's twofold. Honestly, our local communities support their public schools. I think that's really evident by the number of referendums that are passed throughout the state. But I also think it's very clear that voters want to make sure that, you know, our kids, our students, they're getting what they need. And they made it very clear that they know that what's best for our kids is what's best for our state. So they strongly support our public schools, but they're also rejecting, you know, the divisive and the hateful rhetoric that's kind of coming out of places.
You know, had all the referendums passed, that would have totaled more than $2 billion. Why are districts in need of billions of dollars?
Yeah, so the reason that we have to pass so many referendums is because our state funding for our public schools hasn't really kept up with anything. Since 1993, we've had revenue caps on our school districts. And things go up in price, you know, personnel, certainly, that's our majority of school districts. That's their expenditure. The majority of their budget is personnel. But also you look at facility upgrades, you look at programs, you look at just being able to provide a high quality public education. I mean, it costs money. And when the state isn't providing their share what they would promise our school districts normally, the local communities have to make up for it. And what we're seeing, you know, is that the communities want to fund our public schools. And that's where we run into issues, because some communities are able to pass these referendums and others aren't. And so our schools become more unequal.
Is this typical, though, that you see so many referendum to increase staff salaries and benefits, to retain and attract educators? I mean, I'm reading directly from referendum. Provide competitive inflationary increases for all staff. Keep up with inflationary costs. Is it typical for referendums to target pay like this?
Yeah, it is now. So back before, let's say, 1993, the state used to be able to keep up. They promised 2/3 funding, mm-hmm. right, to our school districts. And so 1/3 of our school funding came from local taxpayers. But as that percentage of what the state promised has dwindled, I mean, there's a lot of areas, like, for example, how much the state reimburses our school districts for special education costs, for example. As that percentage has declined, the share that our local school districts have had, our taxpayers have had to pay, has gone up. And so, yes, staff has to, you know, we have to pay staff. And you think about wages, utilities, programming, all these transportation costs, all of that goes up. And it has exceeded the amount that the state has provided to our schools. And so in order to keep those programs going, or to provide, you know, safe and secure buildings, or to keep a program from being cut, or to pay teachers, our school districts have to make up that shortfall. And so they do so through referendum.
17 school referendums totaling almost $365 million, they failed. How significant is that lack of requested additional funds? What can that mean?
So when school districts, you know, have these questions, they try to do a lot of research in the community to see what's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those cases, when something doesn't pass, usually the school district will do a little bit of soul searching, you know, their school board members, the community, to figure out why not, right? Sometimes if it's a school consolidation where they want to build a new building, the community, there might be some kind of disconnect. So they need to do a little bit of more research to figure out, you know, what the community would support. But if it's something like operational costs, that's where it's very, very troubling. Because when you look at the size of, for, you know, some of these non-recurring operational referendums, they're sometimes a third and sometimes a little bit more of a school district's annual operating budget. And so what they have to do is they have to rely on, they have what they call a fund balance, or they have to cut. And they generally have a year or two to do that before they are completely out of funding. And so that's where, you know, it gets really concerning when you see these large amounts that are for operational costs that fail, because in that case, the school district is really, really struggling and in trouble.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the high number of school referendums that were held last week, and we have State School Superintendent Jill Underly. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Superintendent Underly, you know, Wisconsin schools had access to billions of dollars of federal pandemic relief funding. With this boost in federal funding, why are schools still struggling to make ends meet?
So what had happened was, when we got the federal funding, at the time that that budget was passed in the state, so this is the 2021-23 budget, the legislature didn't provide any additional funding to schools because they said, you know, we're not going to give you, and sometimes it's around 2% is generally what we were hoping for. A lot of years it's been less than that. But
yeah,
they didn't give us the, you know, the funding amount. And so
I will place you on hold. And
I'm sorry, we're getting a little bit of Superintendent Underly, go ahead.
Sorry, it's so let me go back to that train of thought.
Yeah.
So the federal government gave us money, and our legislature said, we're not going to give you schools a increase because you're getting this federal dollars. And so the federal dollars expire, and they expire at the end of this next school year. And so therefore, our school districts haven't been getting funding the past couple years. So we're already a little bit behind when you think of like just a simple inflationary increase, which we weren't getting anyway, by the way. So the money runs out in 2024. And so what you're hearing in the newspapers or by your school boards, your school district superintendents, is we're going to hit this funding cliff because the federal money runs out and the state didn't give us any increase. And so we're kind of relying on funding from like 2019, almost, when you think about it, and what we were given back then.
A lot
so
has
it's
changed.
Really, it's,
a lot has changed since 2019.
Absolutely.
The world has changed.
Absolutely.
Jill Underly, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, as we dig into school referendums, get her takeaways on what districts are facing after voters weighed in. Join in on how you felt about school referendums on your ballot. What stood out to you in the things districts asked for? 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the midterm elections, voters weighed in on 81 school district referendums. That's from the State Department of Public Instruction's Referenda Reports platform. And in all, residents were asked to approve about $2 billion in additional funds. Join in on the school district requests, referendums that failed, and why. 800-642-1234. We have State Education Chief Jill Underly, who stays with us. Let's bring in Christine now in Eau Claire. Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just think it's important for Jill to say that it's, when she talks about the state not funding it, it's really the Republicans in the Assembly and in the Senate. Former DPI Superintendent Tony Evers would happily fund the schools, and especially after he just won re-election. Again, I think it's important to state that the Republicans in the Senate and the Assembly won't fund the schools. So,
Christine, thank you, Superintendent Underly. What about the legislature here? Doesn't have a supermajority, but more Republicans elected in the midterms.
Yeah, I mean, so it's really one of those things. So my office is nonpartisan, and Christine makes a great point, obviously. It's there's a contingency in the legislature, particularly when you look at the Joint Finance Committee, that, you know, takes these budget items that are for schools and, you know, messes around with them a bit, you know, like certainly, you know, zeros them out or says we're not going to fund these programs, doesn't give us an inflationary increase. I mean, we need a predictable funding system for our schools so that they don't have to go to referendum. You look at all these different bucket items that we have, other states, they, you know, it's one big package. Here's how much our schools need. And then they decide, are they going to increase it or, you know, keep it what it was before. But in Wisconsin, it's really easy to just knock off, you know, certain budget items one by one. And that's tough, right? Because, you know, last Tuesday showed us that Wisconsin communities overwhelmingly support their public schools and that they recognize the need for our schools to have additional funding. Hence, they pass these referendums. But they shouldn't have to, because our legislature, and, you know, Christine's right, you know, it's these certain people within the legislature who have this power, they should be doing their job and fund our schools. And I mean, we need to get to a system in school funding where therefore it will stop forcing our schools to go to referendum and have to ask communities for support, because it is the state's responsibility.
Well, let's bring in some tape here. After the election Tuesday, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said he sees room for compromise on education. Let's take a listen.
I would say you can find some middle ground. I want to have, and I wanted to have, universal school choice, a massive expansion of options for parents. Tony Evers wants more money for public schools. Well, we probably could find a way to say we'll give more money to all schools, including an increase in the opportunity for more school choice in the state. That's a win for everybody.
And so that was Speaker Voss speaking Wednesday on the Mark Belling Show. Superintendent Underly, what compromises would you be comfortable with?
So, you know, just from the comments, you know, a couple things. I know our elected officials care about all the kids in the state, and I will work with anyone and everyone to ensure, you know, that our schools and our kids are, you know, academically successful, you know, and they're safe. And I'm looking forward to having these conversations and working with our legislators and all Wisconsin's elected officials, because we all want the same things. You know, we want great schools, great teachers, beautiful and safe buildings, healthy and well-prepared kids. The issue is, it's kind of this all or nothing here. You know, the speaker mentioned, you know, expanding statewide school choice. That costs a lot of money, and really the choice for our school, the choice for the parents and the kids in our state is their local public school. If we expand, you know, these private options, the taxpayers are funding that. It's not free. That has to come out of something, and it comes out of what they allocate for education in the state.
Let's go to Paula now in La Crosse. Paula, hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I just heard what Superintendent just said, and I feel very strongly that I don't want my tax dollars to go to private schools. Our previous governor obviously really promoted this, and I guess that is my question. Are our public schools suffering or not having the funds they need because of supporting these private schools? I mean, there is a separation of church and state, and I have a big problem with that, and I don't agree with it at all.
Paula, thanks for the call. Superintendent Underly, what would you say there to Paula's concerns?
I don't disagree with Paula. I'll just make it very clear. I don't feel that our tax dollars should be going to fund private schools either. However, the way that the system is set up currently, you know, it is limited, you know, as far as what money that we do have, you know, going to voucher schools. And I would just like to hold the line on that. I don't see it going away. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, had said that this is perfectly legal, what Wisconsin's doing. And even though I disagree with that, I would, you know, certainly look to the taxpayers in the state to also put their foot down and just say, look, we don't want to expand this any further than it already is, because it is, it's a very expensive program when you look at choice. And that does come out of, you know, the allocation that the legislature puts for education in the state. They don't have a separate school voucher, for example, allocation. This was a program that was passed many years ago in a budget bill. It wasn't, you know, never got a hearing, that kind of stuff. And so really the taxpayers of the state, the electors, need to start speaking out and being much more vocal if they don't want to see it expand any further.
Speaking of budget, the Department of Public Instruction is requesting $2.5 billion from the next state budget, and this would increase per pupil funding other forms of aid to schools. Why is this needed?
So there's so many needs, right? I mean, we see it. We saw it before the pandemic. We certainly see it after. So a lot of this is actually to make up for the funding that is going to go away after the federal dollars run out in the 23-24 school year. So there's that. But then the other big pieces of it are reimbursement for special education aid. So right now, Wisconsin it's among the lowest, if we're not the lowest, when it comes to how much we reimburse our school districts for special education. And these are services all kids really use. You think about speech and language, and OT and PT and different things along those lines. But so school districts would be getting money to make those programs partially whole. So that's a big chunk of the, you know, the request. And then the big piece of it also is a new program for mental health. And, you know, making sure that every school district gets a base amount for mental health, enough to fund at least a person, you know, a social worker or school counselor for their school district, in addition to what they already have. But we have to accept the fact that our kids in this state and everywhere in the nation, honestly, they need mental health care. And we have to bring the services to the schools because that's where the kids are. And so those are essentially the big three pieces of the budget. And it's meant to really start getting our school districts on a sustainable, predictable funding. Ultimately, it's going to take the work of the legislature and other elected leaders to get our school funding formula fixed so that our school districts don't have to keep going to referendum for these basic and much needed items.
Talking with State Schools Superintendent Jill Underley about last week's midterms and the future of education in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234 to join in. Steve in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, yes. You know, if you look at the past 10 years, the amount of money we spend per pupil has gone up significantly higher than inflation. I also know of school districts and parents who filed open records requests, and they see nothing but left-wing propaganda coming from DPI. Perhaps if we focus more on what helps kids get ahead, reading and writing, arithmetic, we'd be better suited, and maybe our costs wouldn't be as high.
Superintendent Underley.
So I suppose, you know, when you look at what schools are spending their money on, it's personnel. I mean, it costs money to, you know, educate our kids, teachers, education assistants, but all the support, individuals too, school counselors, custodians, food service, that is the bulk. And if you look at the costs have gone up over inflation, they have, because you kind of have to package all that together. And the legislature, you know, hasn't given us the inflation increase that they should be when they consider two-thirds funding. The amount that we spend on special education, that money comes out of programs that benefit all kids. And so we need to make sure that we make those programs whole so that our school districts aren't having to transfer money out of general education to fill those funding gaps too. I mean, schools are, you know, they are a basic necessity of democracy, and they cost money, and we have to maintain them, and we have to make sure that our kids are graduating well prepared, and it's not an inexpensive enterprise by any means.
the Department of Administration projected our state's ending balance at the end of the two-year budget cycle would be roughly $5 billion. Meanwhile, we saw school districts asking for over $2 billion through referendums. My guess is you'd encourage the state to use the surplus to overhaul the way schools are funded. What would you propose with the state surplus?
Well, the state surplus is tax dollars, right? And those tax dollars that we all paid in good faith, that our legislature would allocate to the programs that we care about. And so when you think about it at the end of the day, when the schools didn't get their increase from the legislature, there's part of that surplus right there. Part of that $6 billion came from the money that they did not allocate to schools in the past budget. So I would strongly encourage them to fix our school funding system, because right now they're abdicating that responsibility and they're placing the burden to fund this function of our society, the heart and soul of our communities, on the local taxpayers alone, really. By the time they, you know, completely dwindle the amount that they put towards our schools, I mean, our local taxpayers are shouldering the burden, as we see in the referendum. I mean, costs go up every year. Programs get weighed, whether we cut them or not. And it all comes down to whether voters pass a referendum. And it shouldn't be that way, because our communities, our kids, our state deserves so much better.
Superintendent Underly, thank you for joining us.
Anytime, Kate. My pleasure.
Jill Underly is State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And if you missed any part of the State Capitol Report, you can visit our program page anytime and find hundreds of morning show programs in our archives. Visit WPR.org/mornings. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.